Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
The Widows are back. Big Hair and Bigger Lies collide in Desperate Deadly Widows, the highly anticipated follow-up to Audible's best-selling Young Rich Widows, where nothing's more dangerous than a widow with nothing left to lose. Set in Providence, Rhode Island, 1987, 2 years ago, a plane carrying four law firm partners exploded. And so did the cushy lives of their once wealthy wives. Now, Crystal fights to keep their fallen law firm afloat. Justine hustles as a lawyer in training. Meredith owns and operates the strip club where she once danced. And Camille orchestrates honeypot schemes. Until one of her arrangements goes wrong, and she becomes implicated in the mayor's mysterious murder. With the widow's bonds now tested, will the women cement their friendships, or is loyalty a luxury they just can't afford? In this thrilling expansion of the widow's universe, Desperate Deadly Widows unfolds as an edge-of-your-seat thriller, where desperation wears stilettos, baby, trust is a poker chip, and redemption comes at the cost of everything you thought you knew. Visit audible.com/deadlywidows to listen now. When it comes to travel, we all have that one happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, a little couple's getaway, or even to visit that best friend that you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. I even did their jingle, did you hear that? Personally, my happy place is the beach, sitting next to Drew, pina colada in one hand, book in the other. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everybody gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. Ugh, just kidding, I love you, family. But it could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. Maybe I'll invite my mailman. Just kidding, I don't know him. So I'll bring Elena, Mikey, and Dave, and of course, my Who's Band. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Hey, weirdos, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid. I'm not going to sing in this intro because I feel like I sing a lot of intros in, so I won't do that to you this week.
Hey, you know, you do you.
Thank you.
There it is.
Totally kidding.
So I think before we start an Ash-centric episode.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. We just have a couple of things we wanted to mention. One being that Hella Week is coming up.
Oh my God, I'm literally so excited.
Guys, it's going to be so much fun. We're doing shows for Australia, Europe, and North America, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
Of the week. What are the dates?
The week leading up to Halloween.
The week leading up to Halloween. We put a link for tickets in our bio on Instagram.
Yes.
Or you can find tickets at where?
onlocationlive.com/morbidworldtour.
Yay. So make sure you go there, get some tickets.
We're doing meet and greets, like a virtual little meet and greet.
We sure are, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's a poster,
a really cool poster.
Yeah.
And we're going to theme it for every, like, the specific region that we're targeting. So an Australian case each, a European case each, and a North American case
each. And each show is going to have a different costume.
That's right.
That
we're
are
doing 3 costumes each.
They're like kind of relating to your places, but not actually.
But not really.
One of them really does.
Very loosely for 2 of them, but one of them definitely.
Yeah, like hardcore.
So make sure you're looking out for that. Also, make sure you, if you haven't yet, go check out our podcast show that Ash and I host called Crime Countdown. It's top 10 lists of all kinds of cool things like stolen body parts. You know, craziest serial killers from the 70s.
It can really get you in the Halloween mood.
It really can. And it's like a good little, like, it's quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like quick, like 30 minutes and stuff. So it's like a digestible little list.
Yeah. You know? Like, you know, you need your true crime fix. And if you don't want to start an episode and be in the middle of it, like a morbid episode, if you're running to the grocery store,
yeah.
I feel like Crime Countdown is like the perfect thing to put
it
on.
It really is. If you're running out for an errand, it's perfect. Or like cleaning.
Yep.
And I mention this because our Halloween episodes are going to be a lot of fun. There's some really cool categories that we're doing, so I think everybody will dig it. definitely go give it a look so that we can keep doing it forever because it's so fun and we love Parcast.
And I never want to stop.
And then the last thing I just wanted to ask everybody, and this is not like business. This is just me wanting to be like, hello, everybody, let's chat.
Yeah, you briefly brought this up to me and then I was like, wait, let's do it on the air.
Yes, because this has been bothering me for days.
Okay.
So there, Ash, I will give her full credit, has introduced me to the world of TikTok.
You're welcome.
I'm now obsessed and I can't stop watching.
You know what it is? Younger millennials need to help out the older millennials.
Yeah, you need to Sherpa us into the TikTok world. And you did.
Yeah.
And we also got John into it, which is unbelievable because John is literally Ron Swanson. So the fact that he's into it is huge.
I never thought that would happen.
But don't remember who, so if it was you, definitely like tell me and bang me over the head with this information.
Yeah.
Somebody tagged me or sent me a message and was like, have you seen this weird TikTok account that showed up a couple of weeks ago? And it's called You Shouldn't Be Looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked for it because I was going to show Ash. Now, I looked at this last night.
And I'm mad.
There was probably like 12 videos. And they have 115,300 followers.
Damn.
They 1 million likes.
Wow.
And I went to show her and it's scrubbed clean.
Yeah, there's no videos.
It's still
whatsoever.
There, but it says no content.
So we were in the middle of this is like how far we got in the conversation. And then I was like, well, what was on?
Yeah.
Like, what were the videos? And then I was like, wait, let's do this as we're recording.
So again,
what were they?
It's called @ You Shouldn't Be Looking.
Right. I don't want to.
The name
but now
is You Shouldn't See.
Yeah.
And they were these short videos.
Ew.
That were just shit like somebody filming in the pitch black down a weird dirt road in the middle of the night.
But like, were they saying anything?
No, nothing.
So
and
they
then it would just shut off. And then there was another one that was and you see this person's hands. It's definitely a man.
Uh-huh.
And it looks to be an older man, like middle-aged man.
Chills.
And he's got cuts all over his hands arms. And dirty fingernails.
Because he was just digging a fucking grave.
And when I say cuts all over his, like, the tops of his hands and his arms, it looks like a cat literally demolished his arms and his hands. And it I don't know if it was self-harm scars or what, but there was a lot of them. They were very obvious, very, like,
alarming.
Were
they scars or were they, like,
fresh cuts?
Okay.
And one video is him with a suitcase. And he's all you see is the suitcase, and there's like dark fluid leaking out of the suitcase. And he would play these like old timey music over some of them,
like jolly music.
Yeah, like jolly music, like and of course I can't remember.
No, it's okay.
If I asked John, because he was like, "Wow, the music." I showed John last night, and he was like, "The music choices are really doing it for me."
I love that. That's what he got out of it.
He was like, "This is really creepy."
He's like, "That's probably human blood." Wow, what a great song.
He's like, "This is a jaunty tune that he's playing over."
Oh, fuck.
And then there's another one where it's like night vision, and he's covering up something with leaves, but you can't really tell what's going on.
What the fuck?
There's no speaking in it whatsoever, and they're quick, they're weird. There's another one where he is throwing that same suitcase over a weird bridge in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And, yeah, and there's like fluid leaking out of it all over the bridge that looks to be...
Okay, wait.
And you see his feet briefly, and he has covered his feet in plastic.
Okay, that's fucked up. And now I have a theory. And I'm a fucked up individual for this being my theory. What if he, like videos a series, like, his murder. Like, he, like, murdered somebody and now he's, like, cleaning up. Mm-hmm. What if that was one person's murder and now it's wiped clean and he's going to do a whole another series of videos with another person?
Honestly, here's the thing. Because it's, like, there's that, and then there's these weird videos of him, like, in a weird room in a house and you can't really see it. It's very weird and very, like, abstract.
But, like, what is he doing in the room?
Nothing. You just see him, like, filming, like, a window up in, like, an attic. And then it just cuts off.
What the fuck?
And then there's another one where you see this desk that he's sitting at, and he's flipping through this, like, notebook where... And it's, like, this weird TikTok sound playing over it of this girl being, like, first draw this, and then draw this. And he's, like, flipping through this weird-ass sketchbook.
Yeah.
With papers and trash everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the scariest thing I've ever seen. And then there's one video of, like, water. Like, weird, like, swampy water.
Yeah.
And then another video I saw was him in the woods and he's filming a train going by.
Oh, fuck that.
And then he pans over to what is clearly a body under a sheet.
No.
Or something that looks like a body in the sheet, and there's like clothing next to it.
Oh.
And then it just cut off. And then it's, and now I look today and it's, everything's gone.
Okay, number one, here's my big problem with you right now. I'm actually angry with you. We constantly send each other TikToks. Why did you never send me this?
You know why? Because last night I was looking through it and I was like, whoa, what is this? And then I showed John and then I fell asleep.
Cool. Rude. I love that you fell asleep after watching that. And also, I have another theory now.
I have a theory too.
Okay, maybe he's just like a super creative dude and he's like doing it for... doing it for the gram, quote unquote.
I have several theories about this. One, it could be an interactive game.
Yes.
That people are supposed to be looking for hints. Maybe there's a chat room somewhere where everybody's talking about it and it's like a hunt-a-killer game in real life.
I was going to say it's hunt-a-killer via TikTok.
By the way, go get hunt-a-killer. They're awesome. But for real, maybe it could be that. Two, it could be some weird art thing that they think is, I mean, I don't know why they're doing that because you look in the comments of these. And you could see from the beginning, people were like, oh, this is fake. And then all of a sudden, people were going, I think this is real, guys. Is someone going to call the police? Like, people were literally like, did you see his hands? Like, what? And he looks older. This is weird. Like,
I love that we're mad because he's older.
I know, I'm like, and he's older?
And he's fucking old?
Well, no, it just doesn't seem like something like a grown-ass adult would do. It seems like something a teenager would do.
Right, especially if it was like for art or not real.
But then also, there's the... You know, the possibility.
Wait, I'm like, old people don't like to play games.
Yeah, of course not. Old people. Meanwhile, he's probably like 40.
What's the possibility? I'm sorry.
So then there's the possibility, because as we remember, kids did find suitcases with dead body parts on TikTok. So shit happens. That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the next step that killers are taking.
TikTok?
Using TikTok to film their shit and then scrubbing it clean.
But here's my issue. Nothing is ever scrubbed clean.
But maybe they don't care. Because if you look at the hashtags, too, that's the other big part of this. He used a ton of hashtags, and they were always, like, very manic and very, like, don't look at me. I can't stop. Please help.
Oh, fuck. I have, like, spinal chills.
They were very, very manic and very alarming. And there was
fuck!
And it seemed like someone reaching out. So I was almost like... Is he doing these things? And he's like, help me stop.
Oh, shit. Now I'm having like a panic attack on air.
And maybe he started this shit because he wants someone to find him to stop.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's like the crybaby killer.
Yes.
Like
for God's sake, when's somebody going to come stop me?
Oh.
And if it's not, then... I mean,
no, my TM, arms.
I'm going to make a movie about this. Because
TM, my fucking goosebumps right now.
Because it's truly crazy. And what I just wanted to see if any of our listeners had seen this.
Oh.
Or if you had, you know, obviously it could be either thing.
Yeah.
I would love to say that it's very far-fetched, that it's real. But
it's really
honestly,
not that far-fetched anymore.
With the way the world is, who the fuck really knows?
Nothing in 2020 is far-fetched.
But holy shit, if it's not real, kudos. Because you did
the nation.
It was immaculate, the way they did it.
Wow.
Just enough information, never overstepping to the point where you're like, oh, that's fake. That's too much. Like, it was always to the point where you're like, that could be real.
Right.
Because he never gave too much.
Right.
It's just weird shit, weird environments.
Very dark.
Very dark, very disturbing. So
I want to know if Aiden knows about this.
Oh, yeah, we should ask. Our nephew, Aiden.
Yeah.
You know, I got to ask him.
Seriously.
Shout out to Aiden.
Hi, Aiden. What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, cuz?
What's up, Aiden?
Oh, my God. Wow.
But yeah, I had to talk about that because...
Damn.
Holy
okay,
shit.
This is going to... I mean, this case is, like, very terrifying, but, like, that's... Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
So we really set you up for some more.
Yeah,
so.
You sure did. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's a lot to digest, and I'm sad. I can't believe I just looked and it's gone.
I'm sad that it's gone, but also grateful that I never had to see it.
I'm pretty excited that I did see it.
I'm pretty angry with you right now.
I mean, we'll see if later when there's an ID discovery story about this that right. I can be like, I remember then I was watching them.
Yeah, and I could have remembered, except I showed you TikTok.
You did.
I showed it to you.
I showed you.
I created you.
I think I also thought in my head I really want to show her this in person because I like to show you things that are very exciting in person.
That is true.
You know.
Thanks, bub.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. All right. Well, should we get into it?
We should get into it.
Right, let's just go right on in.
Let's do it.
Travel's great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com or call 877-290-1880. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel. It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
So, it's the morning of May 26th, 1990.
It is.
Right now. No, back then. And Marlene Warren opened the front door of her Florida home to someone who was dressed as a clown, and this clown had flowers and balloons.
Shut that door.
Yeah, fuck that. Shut literally, you see a clown and I'm like, I'm out. And before Marlene saw what else the clown was holding, she was handed the flowers and the balloons, and she made a comment about how pretty they were. Oh. And literally next thing she knew, she was shot in the face.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't that the scariest thing ever?
I mean, to me, the scariest thing ever is anybody coming to my door.
Yeah.
Never mind a clown.
Nope.
Who also shoots me in the face.
In the face.
In the face.
So, and the saddest thing is, she thought that all these gifts might have been from her husband, Mike, because they had been having, like, some serious problems lately. Nothing super crazy. They were just arguing here and there. They owned a few businesses together, so I'm sure that added stress. To the yeah. stress, exactly. They owned a car business. They owned rental properties together. And Mike himself owned some racehorses. And they were doing really well for themselves. They lived in a super expensive neighborhood in Wellington, Florida, called the Aero Club.
The Aero Club.
And it was called the Aero Club because there's a runway that runs through the back of it. And literally, like, people have, like, pads where they land their planes.
Oh.
So you can just fly your private plane home.
Oh, so very middle America.
Yeah, just, like, super wholesome.
Yeah.
What the hell? So they had been married for like 20 years. And Mike was a great stepdad by all accounts because Marlene was married once before. She was like super, super young when she got married to this guy named John Ahrens. And the reason they got married super young is because Marlene's stepdad was in the Air Force and she would have had to move to Europe if she still lived with them. So she just got married to her boyfriend, I think.
Which, you know. Doesn't always work and when it's like that.
And I couldn't find anything to say it was like super tumultuous or anything like that.
It's just when you're like forced into it kind of.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't work out. So they had two sons together, Johnny and Joe. And this is really sad. Johnny had unfortunately passed away 2 years before the clown knocked on the door. Aww. He was in like a really horrific fatal car accident.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. So it was just Joe left. So Joe said that he remembered his mom opening the door that morning after a white Chrysler LeBaron pulled up in the driveway. And he said his mom took the flowers and the balloon. She said, oh, how pretty. And he thought then he heard a balloon popping. But he realized that the clown had pulled out a pistol and shot his mother directly in the face.
What the fuck?
Like, point blank range. That's
holy
terrifying.
Shit.
Like, what? So she fell to the floor and there was people over for breakfast that morning. Joe had his friends over for breakfast.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, oh my God. So she falls to the floor and everyone comes like rushing to her side. And Joe tried to chase after the clown to get the clown to stop. But he had just gotten some kind of accident and he broke his leg. So he was in like a super bulky leg cast. And this is the creepiest fucking part. Everybody who was there that morning said that the clown like calmly walked away after shooting Marlene.
Like Michael Myers style.
Like literally just walked back to the... Also, white Chrysler LeBaron, like very recognizable. recognizable car.
Oh, yeah. That's a very conspicuous car.
So he said he chased after the clown. He tried to trace, but obviously his leg is broken, he can't chase. And he said the clown turned around and looked at him briefly before continuing just to slowly get in the car and slowly drive away.
That's a legitimate nightmare.
Like, I was watching, there's a 48 hours about it, and I was watching it, and the pain in this kid's eyes as he has, like, PTSD, clearly.
Oh, of course.
And he's, like, a grown adult now, obviously, but.
Like, you just saw your mother shot in the face by a clown.
Right.
And then you tried to chase said clown, and it turns around, looks you dead in the face, and then gets in a car and drives away casually.
All slowly. That's, like, the scariest part of this whole entire thing.
Like, you can't even make that up.
No. So Joe and his friend, who had been over for breakfast, like I said, they hop in the car and try to, like, find the LeBaron, but they were never able to catch up. So this clown just fucking disappears into the day. Because this is
into
morning.
Into the middle of the day.
It was literally 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And it's like, what? So they try to catch up. They're not able to. He was able to, though, give the police a description of the clown. So the clown had an orange wig, all white and red makeup, a big red clown nose.
Ugh.
Yep. And only brown eyes were showing. He said, I know that the clown had brown eyes because he,
good for him.
He or she looked me directly in the eyes.
Wow.
And it was like a big clown costume. So, like I just said, he or she, because Joe wasn't sure whether it was a man or a woman.
Clown is a perfect way to hide that.
Yeah. And the clown was wearing like regular high top shoes, not clown shoes.
Ew.
Right?
I don't know why that's gross.
I don't either. And I was reading it and I was like, oh, like I need to put that in there. And then I was like, is it weird that I just put that in there?
No, I don't know why that's gross to me, but it's like.
It adds to the creep.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing these like big ass like clown pants with like human shoes.
Oh.
It gives, you know what it fucking reminds me of? Donnie Darko.
Yes.
When, I think the clown in Donnie Darko is wearing regular shoes.
I think you're right.
I think Frank is wearing regular shoes.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a dark vibe.
Yeah, it is. It's a dark vibe.
So Marlene was still alive.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was rushed to the hospital and immediately she was put on life support.
Oh, no.
There was a bullet lodged in her spinal cord.
Oh.
And unfortunately, a lot couldn't be done to save her. Tips came into detectives just 3 hours after Marlene was shot, saying to look into her husband and a woman who worked for him. And a woman who worked for him.
I'm going to fuck her up.
Always. And this woman worked at the used car business, Bargain Motors, and her name was Sheila Keene. So Sheila was 26 and she had a son of her own from a previous marriage. She did car repossessions for the business. And everybody said that she was the perfect person for the job because she was aggressive, fearless, and if worse came to worst, Sheila carried a .38 caliber pistol for protection.
Oh, so there you go.
Boom, cut and dry, right?
Dunsky.
Wrong.
Whoa. So,
wrong.
Wow.
So it was a gun that her husband and her had owned together previously, but they were now separated, like divorced. And there was a lot of rumors about Sheila being like a don't mess with me type of lady. All those rumors were true.
Which is a good way to be.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But there were also rumors, and this is not a good way to be, that she and Mike were having an affair together.
Oh, fuck her. And
exactly.
Fuck him.
Some employees even said that they got caught having sex in the office.
That's disgusting.
On not one, but multiple occasions.
Divorce your wife.
Right.
I don't understand that.
What the fuck? I don't either.
Holy shit. You can have all the sex you want in the office once you divorce your wife.
So, but here's the problem. A lot of their businesses were in Marlene's name.
Oh.
Exactly. So that was a problem. So when detectives finally tracked down Mike, he was miles away in a car with some of his friends headed to a racetrack. So there was literally no way that he would be able to dress like a clown, kill Marlene, clean himself up, and then get dressed and make it look like he was super far on the road. Like,
yeah.
It was just humanly impossible. And there was multiple people in the car to back up the timeline. And I just feel like this worked out perfectly in his favor. It's like, oh, no, I was going to the racetrack. Like,
I was miles and miles away.
It's like very convenient day to be and miles away.
Of course.
So whatever. Detectives start following up on the tips into Sheila and they start looking into her. So they went to flower shops and grocery stores all around the area trying to narrow down where the balloons or the flowers came from.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of
which
that.
Was really smart. And they were also calling costume shops to find out about the clown costume. And they called these women, I hope I say the name right, Barbara Castricone and Deborah Offord. And they worked at a local costume shop.
Okay.
And they had some interesting information. So they told detectives that two nights earlier, a woman had come in just as they were closing. And she was like super adamant about seeing the clown costumes, which on any day is fucking weird, but especially now. So one of the women was like, oh, like, can you come back the next day? Because we're closing right now.
We can't show you all of our clown costumes.
Yeah, exactly. And Sheila, I mean, the woman, told them that they needed something right then and there. And then whoever it was, Sheila, bought a clown costume separately, an orange wig, a red nose, and some white makeup.
Wow.
So whoever.
The level of dumb.
I'm like, you're going to buy that distinctive of a costume. I mean, don't go and kill somebody anyway in any kind of costume, but no. Like, that costume and
going to a costume shop.
Right.
Like, not just getting, you know, it just seems like you're really pinpointing yourself right. here.
You're asking for it.
And to, like, ask people about the clown costumes, to, like, make another trail, you
and
know?
To be, like, super adamant. Like, you need to be, like, going in the middle of the day when there's a ton of other people there and just you need to buy like more than one thing.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah, you're stupid. I like that we just spelled out for people how to do this for the future. So cool. So the detectives asked the woman to describe like the super pushy customer, and both women described somebody who looked a lot like Sheila Keen.
Because it was her.
Yes. And then they were pretty sure it was her when they were shown a photo lineup. They like pointed her out and they said they couldn't be 100% sure, but like they were like very sure,
pretty sure it's this bitch.
Basically, I think they like didn't want to be wrong, but they were like, yeah,
because I imagine that must be really difficult to be like, I know it's that person, but what if that tiny little chance it's not, and I fucked their whole life over? Like, so you're like, I'm pretty sure it's her.
I think so. So luckily, tracking down the balloons turned out to be a lot easier than they thought, because the two balloons were like very distinct balloons. One of them said,
she's real dumb.
She's real dumb, and she's terrifying, because one of these balloons said, you're the greatest.
What the fuck?
Like, isn't that so, first of all, like terrifyingly creepy, but also like, what? And then the other one had Snow White and the Seven Dwarves on it.
I hate everything about this.
It's like, what the fuck? And I think, that, I don't know, just to like add to the creepiness, the flowers I'm pretty sure were carnations.
Oh.
Yeah. So I hate carnations.
I don't like carnations either.
So, yeah.
In Snow White, I feel like, and sorry for all the Snow White heads out there, but like, I think Snow White is like a really weird ass tale. Like,
I do. It's very, I mean, like, seven men are just living with this group. Like,
and she's literally there to like clean for them. And like, it, and then like the whole falling into a coma shit, it's just weird.
It's a very weird
tale. I won't let the girls watch it.
Really?
I've yet to let them watch Snow White.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very dark.
So that's a weird one to put on a balloon for this.
So yeah, Snow White, creepy, and You're the Greatest, creepy. So the detectives are able to determine that the balloons were bought at this grocery store called Publix Grocery Store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are like still around. Oh, we don't have them here.
I thought you were kidding. I thought you were like, oh, yeah, like Publix. Oh, yeah.
No, they're like a real thing.
No, I never heard
they're
of
them. They're not around here, though.
No. So the employees there gave them a similar description to the woman at the costume store, Sheila. And when they looked at the time that the balloons were purchased, it was 9:22 in the morning. And that was just an hour and a half before the shooting.
Jesus.
So she did this that day.
Wow. And what? I love that these people, I imagine they're just like, you know what? She looked like a Sheila.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I think her name was Sheila.
She looked very Sheila-ish to me.
I think she said her name was Sheila.
Yeah, she just, I sniffed and I was like, ooh, is that Sheila?
That's a Sheila vibe you're giving off.
That's a Sheila stench.
She's not a Sheila. She's a Debbie. What's that from? You're not a Sheila. You're a Debbie. What is that from?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I need to, somebody tell me. Anyways.
Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
So, another Sheila vibe. She only lived half a mile away from the fucking grocery store.
Wow, Sheila.
I'm like, girl. So, cool, cool, cool. Wow. The detectives obviously did not think that this was a coincidence.
No?
No, me either.
Good. I mean, some would. So, yeah. I'm glad that they didn't.
We're not dealing with the LAPD
No,
here.
We're not.
So, they go talk to Sheila. And so, meanwhile, back at the hospital, Marlene, unfortunately, was being taken off life support.
Oh, Marlene.
I know. Marlene's mother, Shirley, had got a call telling her what was going on while she and Marlene's stepfather were, like, vacationing, visiting their friends in Arizona.
And you get a phone call that mm-hmm. says your daughter was shot in the face in her home by a fucking clown.
And is on life support. You would think that was a prank call.
I'd be like, no. Right. Not, that whole thing did not happen. No. You can't put all those things together.
Exactly. So they fly back to Vegas where they lived, and then they got on another plane, and they promptly went to be by Marlene's bedside. Marlene's son, Joe, was there, and this really pissed off Shirley. Mike was there because...
Oh, I would want to fuck that guy up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do want to fuck that guy.
Oh, I do too.
Like, presently.
You're going to want to in the end as well.
I
want to
murder him.
So Shirley told Peter Van Sant from CBS News that Marlene had recently confided in her that if anything happened to her, Mike did it.
That, oh, and it's also like, if you ever have to say that in your life,
you gotta get out.
Run.
So she
get as far away from, and I'm not like blaming anybody, no, like a victim not. Blaming or anything, but it's just like, please know that if you are ever saying the words, if anything is to happen to me, mm-hmm. blame this person that I'm still currently in a relationship with.
I know.
Get out.
So get here's out. The thing. I think because I couldn't find a lot about like her wanting to leave or anything like that, but I think it was overshadowed by like just like the craziness yeah. that is this case. But I think her mom said like, please come live with me. And it seems like she might have been planning to yeah. go. So I think she
always,
was.
It's always too late.
But it's also, especially in this case, it's so tough because they have all these intertwining things that connect them. And
businesses
such. Like that fucks you up.
Yeah. It's just, oh, it's always hindsight. Yeah. But it's like, oh,
and it just sucks so much.
It kills me.
So Shirley knew that Mike had an airtight alibi, but that didn't mean that he wasn't involved.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. you can have an alibi. That's actually even, I think that's even more perfect.
You have an alibi for you.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that somebody who you have hired to do this or exactly. have convinced to do this.
Exactly.
Has, yeah.
So, and then we're going to get into this later, but I don't think that Mike had to do much convincing. I don't think this was his plan.
If somebody's willing to do this, I don't think they need a lot of convincing.
No, exactly.
It sounds to me like somebody who does this was going to do this yeah. eventually.
He's a little bit of a cuckoo nut man. A
little bit.
Or woman. We're inclusive here. So, unfortunately, Maureen was taken off life support 2 days after the shooting.
Aww.
It's really sad. And the bullet removed from her spinal cord was determined to be from either a .38 caliber pistol.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, you know, like the one Shirley had?
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Or, oh my God, not Shirley. Shirley's the mom. Sheila.
Oh,
like
Sheila.
The one Sheila yeah. had. I'm so sorry. She's a Sheila, not a Shirley. They couldn't be sure that it was a .38 because there was also a possibility that it was from a .357. But it was okay. one of the two guns, so... That's, you know, that's right. a red flag.
It's a good little piece of something to connect later.
Right. And it made the detectives even hotter on Sheila's trail, obviously, because yeah. she had a .38. So they came knocking at her door, and Sheila told the detectives that the morning of the shooting, she was out doing car repossessions. But the bummer was that she couldn't remember any of the cars that she had repossessed that day.
Oh, that's stinky.
I feel like if you have a car repossession job, you're like stoked to go out and repossess cars and oh, like yeah. you know which ones you're looking for.
Because if you're in that business, you're like, let's do this.
Yeah. You're like you're like the people that give tickets on Newberry Street.
And you can't remember one.
Right. Not one. Like you, nothing. You said you were out all morning.
Yeah.
You must have, like, that must have been at least a couple.
Yeah.
So cool, cool, cool. Love that for you. So strange, you know? She also told them that she had misplaced that gun about a month before the shooting.
Oh,
you know.
So clumsy.
I just lost it.
So like forgetful.
Like I would lose my wallet.
Yeah, I hate when I lose a gun.
It's so stupid because the thing is, you don't lose a fucking gun. And remember, she had a child.
Yeah.
If you whoops. Did lose your gun yeah. with a child in your home, like your child should be taken away from you.
There's more issues here at hand.
Yes, that. Exactly. So cool, cool, cool. She also denied having any relationship whatsoever with Mike Warren, just a good friendship. So, like, she denied having a romantic relationship, I should say.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. And you know what? Neither did the neighbors, because when they were interviewed, they said that they saw Mike Warren coming and going from Sheila's house so often that they thought he was her husband.
Dear God.
They thought he was her husband.
And it's like, dude, you can become her husband if you want.
Like, nobody's leave trying to stop you.
The marriage.
And you know what? I feel like Marlene was, like, the kind of person that would just be like, cool, like, fuck right off then.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Like, I'm keeping my businesses, yeah. But fuck you. But
you can go be with this lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can call her a twat. She's a twat. Like, this in this woman, case, she's a twat.
She's a real twat.
So when Marlene had told Shirley, like, if anything happens to me, look into Mike, she also said that Mike was hardly ever home anymore. So it's like, this is just all adding up.
I feel so bad.
And, oh, you feel so bad? And he really stopped being around as much when she needed him the most, when her oldest son had died. That's when all this started.
Wow, so he's literally
a monster.
A fucking monster.
Right. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that she married him when her kids were young. Like, fuck so him. He was their dad, you know, yeah. Like for all intents and purposes. And her surviving son, Joe, said that. He was like our dad, you yeah. know?
And here he is not giving a shit.
Exactly. So shitty, shitty, shitty. Ugh. It makes me so angry. But luckily, the police had a good case going. Unluckily, their evidence was really just circumstantial.
Of course.
Which sucks. But that was until a car was found just 4 days after the shooting.
You don't say.
A car matching the description of the one that calm clown was just driving away.
That La Baron.
La Baron. And it was found. It was so funny because when you were saying the grocery store, that's like, you're like, oh, yeah, Publix. They're out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a Winn-Dixie grocery store.
Oh, there you go.
And the only reason I knew what that was is because of Winn-Dixie.
I figured.
Yes, thank you. So the LeBaron is there. And when they checked to see who the LeBaron belonged to, this is like such a like a twist. It had been stolen from a car rental place called Payless.
Ooh.
Like Payless.
Like Payless shoes.
Yes, that's why I said it like that.
Payless cars.
Right. So this is where the story, like I said, gets weirder. Mike Warren knew about Payless because he had been sued by that company.
Huh.
Yeah. For running an ad that looked exactly like theirs. His was kind of supposed to say like pay less as two separate words, but that was like the one word that their company was. But in the ad, there was barely a space. And they were like, yeah, like people are going to call you instead of us. Like that's, you can't do that.
No, no.
No, no, sir. Bad form. Not today. And so the last people who rented the LeBaron were a couple, and they ended up calling Bargain Motors, Mike's used car place, instead of Payless, where they rented the car from.
Huh.
So whoever answered the phone at Bargain Motors told them to leave the car on the street and put the keys in the visor.
I'm willing to bet who that was.
Yeah, samesies.
Yeah.
So the couple thought it was like weird, but they were like, okay.
Like, why would we question that?
Right, exactly. So, cool. Who do you think the next person was to drive that LeBaron?
Oh, I don't know. I can't even begin to think.
I feel like it might have been Sheila.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, Sheila.
Yeah.
So inside the LeBaron, detectives found strands of long brown hair, just like Sheila's long brown hair. Everybody that described her, she had like almost like hippie hair, like parted in the middle and like super, super long and thick, like brown ass hair.
I bet it was shitty.
Yeah. I like hate to say this, but she actually had nice hair in the beginning.
I bet it smelled gross.
Well, she definitely smells gross. Yeah. And later on, her hair sucks. And yeah. I actually talk about
it. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. They also found orange fibers that looked exactly like the ones that came from that clown wig.
Gross.
So that's cool. The only issue was that DNA testing wasn't really advanced in the early 90s.
No?
No. So the results just came up similar when they compared it to Sheila's hair.
Which is no good.
And the clown wig and clown costume was never found.
Really?
Never found.
Huh, I wonder what that bitch did with
it. Or the gun. The gun was never found either.
Oh, I want to know where
it
is.
I mean, they lived in Florida, so I feel like there's plenty of places where she could have just...
like a swamp somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like some weird ass random body of water. But they were lucky because they did get a search warrant for Sheila's apartment. And Sheila's apartment was just 9 miles away from this Winn-Dixie's grocery store.
Huh.
So she's doing this at all these, like, local-ass grocery stores.
Yeah, it's like, girlfriend, do you think you could maybe drive more than, like, 10 minutes down the road to do any of this?
Yeah, and just, like, clear the odometer so they can't tell.
Like, what a lazy son of a bitch.
Exactly. So they go into her apartment and they got some more samples of her hair and they found orange fibers consistent with the ones found in the LeBaron on Sheila's clothing.
Gross.
But again, that's really just circumstantial evidence, yeah. So they can't do a lot.
Like, yeah, they can't be like, there's orange fibers and there's here too.
Right.
Because that can be anything.
Exactly. And unfortunately, it's just like, it's not a strong case, so no. They don't want to go with it yet until they get something better.
Because it could definitely fall apart and then she would just walk.
Exactly. And never mind.
Uh-oh.
No. Okay, so looking back into Mike too, because the LeBaron was connected to him and Bargain Motors, now they could get a warrant for Bargain Motors.
Thank goodness she sucked so much.
I know. And they did get the warrant. And they didn't find anything to help in Marlene's case, but they found enough evidence to get Mike arrested on charges, are you ready, of racketeering,
damn,
grand theft auto, odometer tampering. So, like I said, she really could have cleared that odometer.
It's like Matilda.
I know, that's what I was, I literally wrote that in here. And insurance fraud.
Wow.
So, like, I'm literally picturing, like, Matilda's fat
dad. That's literally what I'm picturing is Danny DeVito.
Yes, her dad. Exactly. Danny DeVito, I love your work. I have to throw them in there because people get mad at me now if I don't connect it to Mean Girls.
You got to.
Okay, so, yeah. He was immediately arrested, obviously. And he actually served 4 years in prison.
Not enough.
But, no, not enough. And they were never able to connect him to Marlene.
That's fucked.
Which is really, really fucked. So,
where is he?
Well, hold on. So, well, hold up.
I just want to talk.
He's actually pretty local, so we could talk.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of gray area between the years Mike got out of jail in 2002. So it's like, I don't know exactly what year they got him, but it was in the 90s, like mid-90s, and then to 2002.
Okay.
Mike argued with Marlene's son, Joe, about who should keep the house, and Joe got left with, like, nothing.
That pisses me off,
right?
So much.
And this is really sad because, like I said, Mike was basically his dad,
yeah,
and they were, like, completely disconnected now, and he was basically abandoned. And he actually had a really hard time for a while, and he got into drugs, obviously, to, like, cope with the loss of his mom.
Yeah, he was going through a ton of shit.
Really going through a ton of shit, but this will make you happy. I put this in the middle on purpose.
Okay, good.
He really turned his life around, and he started his own construction company, and he said in 48 hours that he owes it to his mom because he learned so much from her when he, because she would take him to, like, the rental properties,
yeah,
anytime they fixed anything. And if he said if she couldn't fix it herself and she could fix, like, almost anything herself,
badass,
she'd hire someone, and whoever she hired, she would have Jill watch them fix
it. I love that.
And he was like, I learned so much.
Oh, good for you, Joe.
I know. I love Joe.
Good job.
So back to the shit stains. In 2002, Sheila moved away with her son and got married in Vegas to this guy.
Oh, good.
She got married to this guy named Mike Warren.
Okay.
They got married.
Oh, it was the Mike.
The Mike Warren.
Oh, shit. I forgot his last name was Warren.
Yes. She married Mike Warren after claiming that they had no fucking romantic relationship.
I'm not shocked at
all.
And
you're, like, the primo suspect in his wife's murder, and you're going to go get married?
That's so flagrant. They don't care.
No, they don't care at all. And I'm like, you literally said that you weren't having a relationship in the first place, and now you're getting married?
Yeah, you're pieces of shit.
Like, at least be honest and be like, yeah, we were having an affair.
Yeah, we were having an affair, but if you're going to lie, be like, it didn't have anything to do with her murder, obviously.
Exactly. And then they'd be like, well, yes, it did.
They obviously think everyone around them is not as smart as them, but in reality, they're fucking idiots.
Oh, and they're, like, assholes, too, and I'll get into that.
I mean, yeah.
So they settled down in Virginia, and they opened a fast food restaurant in Tennessee, because I guess it's, like, just, like, right over the border right there. I don't remember.
Called
maps.
Adultery and Murder.
Oh,
is that
no.
what it's called?
It was called the Purple Cow.
Close.
Similar.
Yeah.
They were cows, so
they
there
were.
It is.
Yeah.
And Sheila was going by Deb or Debbie now.
Oh.
Cute. Because she said that's what her dad called her when she was younger.
That's weird as fuck, Sheila. That's not your name.
Yeah, that's not your name.
That's not a cute story. That just means your dad's dumb and he didn't know what your real name was.
I think, like, it was her middle name.
Whatever.
Wait, it's not that's your actually, name. You're not a Sheila, you're a Debbie. That's weird.
That is weird.
Sheila Debbie, what the fuck?
Yeah. Also, that's not your name.
No, it's not your name. That's not my name.
In 2015, HBO's The Jinx unraveled one of the most notorious unsolved crimes in New York's history, exposing long-buried information discovered during the filmmaker's decades-long investigation of Robert Durst, scion of New York's billionaire real estate family. Now, The Jinx is back for part two, where the filmmakers continued investigating for 8 years, uncovering hidden material, Durst's prison calls, and interviews with people who had never come forward. If you're looking for more about The Jinx, you can also check out The Jinx podcast. Hosted by director Andrew Jarecki and EP Zach Stewart Pontier, the podcast will begin with an episode-by-episode look back of part one, featuring never-before-heard audio between Durst and Jarecki, along with insights from the series' creators. Then the podcast will cover The Jinx part two as the series releases on Max. Watch the HBO original documentary series The Jinx Part 2 streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Jinx podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
So she also, now this is when I get mad about her hair. She dyed her long brown hair this horrific fucking shade of what she wants to say is blonde.
I just looked up in Google and I saw it.
It is not blonde.
No.
I don't know what that is.
It's
bronze. It's not. It's like... ugh, it's fucking nasty.
It's not a color found in nature.
No, it made my stomach turn, and I hate to say this, but it wasn't professionally done. And I'm not hating on you if you box dye your hair, because Elena box dyes her hair, and she does a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So anyways, employees at the Purple Cow remember that Shebby. I'm going to call her from now on, Sheila Debbie. Shebby and Mike were difficult to work for.
Oh, you don't say.
Right? If something was even slightly wrong, like, they would not let you hear the end of it. And people really tried their best not to get on their bad side because there was a rumor at the Purple Cow that Shebby had killed Mike's wife and did it dressed as a clown.
Oh, a rumor.
Yes. A rumor.
A rumor.
You know what they say about rumors. Now, this is going to send you through the roof.
Oh, no.
They would dress up for Halloween at the Purple Cow. At the Purple Cow. And 1 year, and I will post this picture on Instagram so you can all go through the roof as well. Shebby dressed like a fucking clown.
What a cunt.
Not even a cunt. Like, what is wrong with you?
Holy hell.
Like, just to be that blatant, like, you might as well dress up as a fucking middle finger.
She has a surviving child, you absolute piece of shit.
Yeah, I know.
Tell me so mad. Someone has, like, tried to take a bat to this woman's face, because holy shit.
Well, I'll tell you later where she is, so good. Don't worry.
I just want to talk, Sheila Debbie.
Shebby. I'd like to have a convo. So don't worry, she gets hers. God, because I hope so. DNA testing, like we know, got better.
It did.
And in 2013, the detectives working on Marlene's now cold case were not giving up. Like, they were so fucking
good.
Because they know that she did it. They just need a stronger case.
I hate those cases where it's like everyone knows who did it, but you can't nail them.
Because there's that little, like, you know, one fucking juror will mess it all up. So they started re-questioning all the witnesses to the shooting, anybody that worked with Mike or with Sheila, and they just got the case, like, ramped up again. And they said it was going to take time, but they were hopeful that it would end with Sheila in handcuffs. So Mike and Shebby retired eventually, and they sold the Purple Cow in December of 2016.
Okay.
And then they thought they were going to live, like, super happily ever after in their gorgeous second home in the mountains of Virginia, right on the lake.
But fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. And also, this house is like, I'm like, wow, you want to pretend like you're poor later on? Because she does, and I'll get into it. I'm like, okay.
Okay, Shebby.
Okay. So it all came crumbling down one day in 2017.
Oh, yay.
Yay. So the police set it up to look like a roadblock or a checkpoint because they knew that Mike and Shebby were going to be pulling through this little spot.
I love this.
And they didn't. The reason that they didn't, like, go to her house and arrest her is because, like, they thought she was, like, not going to go willingly.
Yeah, so they were like, let's make this theatrical.
Obviously. So Officer Dewey Fulton...
Dewey?
I literally
get out of here.
I go, fuck yeah, scream vibes.
Deputy Dewey
pulled them over and asked for Mike's driver's license and then went around to the passenger side and was like, oh, can I see yours too? And she handed him her little Tennessee fucking license or whatever. And he was like, as soon as I read her license, I said, can you step out of the car, please? Because you're under arrest for the 1990 murder of Marlene Warren.
The feeling. the feeling.
27 years later. This bitch got away with it for 27 years. And now Chevy had the right to remain silent.
Yes!
Goodbye, Chevy Chevy.
Oh, what a release.
So she was booked in Virginia. And she's like, you probably saw it if you looked it up. She's smiling in her booking photo.
Oh, yeah, she's...
like, cheesing.
Downright cheery.
Yeah, she's fucked up. Well,
she looks like she's posing for, like... like, she's at, like, a Christmas party, and she's posing, like, literally. Yay, we're all having fun.
Like, oh, my God, let's do Secret Santa after
someone
this.
Put a lampshade on their head. This is wild.
Ah, ha, ha. Ugh. So she was quickly extradited back to Florida to stand trial, excuse me. And the prosecutors say that there was now, because there was this new DNA testing, obviously, they tested all the evidence again, and they won't say what happened exactly, but they say that it is sure to end in, like, a rock-solid case.
Yes.
So Chevy will remain behind bars after
trial.
So
we're still waiting for a trial?
Yeah, because of COVID, actually.
Fuck COVID. Yeah,
I know, right?
God.
So it keeps getting, like, pushed off and pushed off because originally, because she was arrested in 2017.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, I'm going to get into it, all these, like, things where she tried to say she was indigent. Is that how you say
indigent.
It? Indigent.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Mike Warren told Peter Van Sant, again, that guy from CBS News that Marlene's mom talked to.
Yep.
And she was like, yeah, she told me that you should look into Mike if anything happened.
Yep.
So now Mike's talking to this guy, and this guy's like, motherfucker.
Motherfucker, you have something to do with this.
But Mike said, if I thought she had anything to do with this, I wouldn't have been with her.
You're an actual idiot.
And it's like, no, if you had any respect for anybody at all, you wouldn't be with her because she was the number one suspect in your wife's murder, and you know it as well as everybody else does.
Even if you knew she had absolutely nothing to do with it, which, come on.
Like, lie.
You would still be with the woman who was the number one suspect, yes, who in most people's mind is the murderer of your wife.
Like, you think that you were going to get away with that for, like, another 27 years? Okay, bud.
Like, I'm sorry. You have to walk away from true love, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
True love.
Ugh.
So Chevy also maintains her innocence, and she writes all these letters to Mike and her mom from jail as inmate number 0092956.
Ooh.
And I don't know. I just, right, like, wanted to, like, say her inmate number because I'm like, out there. Fuck you.
Fuck you, girlfriend.
Hate you. All of Sheila's mail is being collected and copied by the prosecution in case, nice, she, like, slips up or admits anything. So far, she hasn't. She found God in prison.
Don't they all?
I know. She got baptized.
Don't they all?
Yep. And then she wrote to Mike, God knows I wouldn't hurt anything or anyone. That's not me. And I know the world is still full of evil and wrongdoing, but that is not me. And I pray that the world could be a better place for everyone.
First of all, fuck you.
Yeah, Chevy,
please. Second of all, anybody who finds God in prison finds God because they teach you that whatever you did, God will forgive you if, yep, you just find him.
You're so just trying to get into heaven.
Giveaway. It's a dead giveaway that you did it.
Because, exactly,
if you were innocent, you wouldn't be trying to find something to justify what you did.
Exactly. You know who else found God in prison? Son of Sam.
Most of them. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody.
You know who else did? Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
So,
me, eight people. Yeah. So how do you feel, Sheb Sheb?
So cool.
So according to the Sun Centennial, that's where I got the quote that I just read, where, like, from her letter. They also say that Chevy's lawyer is, like, this super high power defense attorney, most likely, like, costs a lot of money, I would assume.
Yeah.
They say that he's not worried about the prosecution using Chevy's mail at trial because he said there isn't going to be anything that's relevant to the case.
Oh, okay.
And he was, like, mad about it. He's like, you know, like, prisoners need, like, deserve rights. Like, they wouldn't be reading her mail if she was out on the outside. Like, that's a felony. And it's like, they could probably get a search warrant for it.
Yeah, exactly. And also, she sucks.
Well, and, like, she's in prison, so she doesn't have that right anymore. No. So
she lost that right when she went to prison.
Or she lost that right when she shot somebody wearing a clown suit.
When she, like, shot a mother she was, like, fucking her husband behind her back.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, though.
Yeah. Good
thank
try,
you,
though.
Thank you for that lesson in morality.
Good try, rich guy.
Yeah.
So in any case, Chevy could be in trouble, like I said, because she claimed herself to be indigent. What did you say?
Indigent.
Indigent. Sorry. It's like indigestion.
It is.
She said she's poor. And she filed a motion claiming that she needed the Justice Administration Commission to help her pay for, like, all these outstanding fees from her case. And the only problem with that is that everything that she and Mike have together adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and assets.
doesn't sound too indigent to me.
No, exactly. So WPTV like wrote this article about it, and that's what they said. So hopefully we'll be able to get more information when the trial is going to happen, because like I said, it just keeps getting postponed because of COVID.
Oh, I want it to happen.
And according to an Oxygen TV article that I read, Shebby is enjoying watching TV shows like America's Got Talent and reading Danielle Steele novels while she's in solitary confinement.
Ew, can you imagine knowing that she's watching you on TV?
No. And also, I love that they had to put her in solitary confinement so that nobody would kill her.
So nobody would beat the shit out of her.
Exactly. So, that's annoying. And it seems like some of her letters to Mike saying that she has it so bad in there might be exaggerating a little bit.
Might be a bunch of bullshit.
So yeah, cool.
Wow.
So hopefully we can do an update to this case and find out, and we can read her verdict, I was going to say.
Hopefully we can read that verdict guilty.
That guilty verdict.
Once the Rona clears on out of here.
Oh my God. I'll go to the trial.
I want to see this so bad. Yeah. We will definitely do an update on this.
100%.
Holy shit.
Because she obviously did it.
The fact that she murdered someone wearing a clown suit.
It's like, why? The other thing too is it was like May. I'm like,
yeah.
Why did you wear a clown suit?
Yeah. What was the meaning behind? And that's why I want her to get like the guilty verdict. So hopefully she'll crack at some point and just admit that she did it.
Right.
And then we can finally hear like, why? Like, I know why you did it, because you're like a filthy piece of shit, and you wanted to sleep with her husband, but why the clown suit?
The only thing that I can think of for the clown suit is I didn't even fucking say this. I think that Marlene liked clowns because you should watch the 48 hours documentary on this. I got a lot of information from there, but I left out some stuff obviously because I'm not gonna like write the whole episode
for brevity.
But I think Marlene liked clowns because she painted clowns when she was younger.
Oh, and that's even weirder.
In the beginning of the 48 hours episode, her mom is showing these two paintings, which are amazing. The fact that she did these when she was a teenager is incredible. And they're of two clowns.
That is even more fucked up.
Yeah, and now her mom has like a clown room in her house. So I think that Marlene maybe liked clowns, and I think because of the flowers and the balloons, she was supposed to be sending it off as like, is that called like not a telegram?
It's like a singing telegram kind of thing. Yeah.
I think that's what it was supposed to be like.
Oh.
So I think she went even further and like used something that Marlene liked
against her because she knew she'd open the door.
Exactly.
Because normal people, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, nine times out of 10,
right,
somebody seeing a clown at the door is going to be like, nope, shut all the lights off and hide.
Right.
And wait for them to go away.
Well, especially now. And then they also talked about, now that we're just chatting, they also talked about, you know, remember in 2016 how there was like that crazy scare of like clowns? John used to like clowns fuck with everywhere. Us and like bang on the door.
Yes.
Because I was terrified.
It was scary.
I'm sorry if you're a clown. I'm terrified of clowns. I used to cry at the circus. Phobia. You cried at the circus.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad made a clown apologize to me.
That's the best thing ever. Circus. I love that. But in the 48 hours, they brought that up, that whole 2016 scare. Mm-hmm. And it was like Joe was having a really hard time during all of that. Marlene surviving.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Because it probably just brought back all, because the clowns in 2016 were fucking terrifying.
And they were everywhere.
Everywhere.
And they were just being weird.
Yeah. And like literally just like walking behind your car or something.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow.
Nuts.
I'm so glad that Joe is doing so well.
I know, and his construction company.
And I really hope that for Joe, I hope he gets to see some fucking justice.
I know, and I hope that somehow Mike gets, like, I hope he's involved somehow to the point where he can be behind bars as well.
Oh, I hope so.
Because you can't tell me that he did not know this was happening.
No, if they were having an affair and she killed her, come on.
Right.
Come on.
And then it's like you go to prison and then pretty soon after you get out of prison, you marry her. It's like, okay.
If you really gave a shit about your wife at all and this was just like a stupid affair that happened, there's no way in hell that you would marry that woman.
No.
There's no way.
The other thing that's annoying is then you go on and you live basically the same life with this woman that you had with Marlene.
Yeah,
you just open a business together and like get a second, like a beautiful home. It's like, that's exactly what you did with Marlene. If I was Sheila, I'd be like, well, what happens when he offs me?
Yeah, but she's not worried because she did it.
Exactly.
So she's like, no one else is going to do it.
Exactly.
And it's like, Joe is still alive. Her child who you fathered.
Right.
Is still alive.
You're flaunting that right in front of his face.
And you're just like, you don't give a shit. Like, your shit is more important than that kid. And that's so fucked up.
Exactly. And you just left him.
Yeah.
Ugh. So much wrong in this
case. You know what, Mike? If you're listening, go fuck yourself.
Honestly.
And Sheila, can't wait to see you get a guilty verdict.
Bye, Sheb Sheb.
Bye, Shebby.
So yeah, that was the case of the really, really fucking sad case of Marlene Warren's murder.
That's truly fucked up.
And I really can't wait to see Shebby get what she deserves.
Me neither.
So if you want to see all the pictures of Shebby, especially when she dresses like a clown.
Oh, I want to see that.
Unbelievable. I'll post that one. But you can follow us on Instagram at
Morbid Podcast.
Hit us up on Twitter.
A Morbid Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
MorbidPodcast@gmail.com.
Shop our merch at shop.morbidpodcast.com. Buy Yippee. Tickets to the Halloween event. Do and it. Listen to Crime Countdown.
Yeah, on Parcast Network.
Yeah. We hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it
weird. But not so weird that you feel the need to like serve somebody a telegram and dress up as a clown and give them flowers and balloons and not just leave after that. Like actually shoot them in the face, because that's really fucked up and not necessary and not like allowed.
And just leave your significant other if you want to have an affair.
Yeah,
just
that's
fucking leave them.
Not so weird that you have an affair.
Ugh, that's so annoying.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sana Layton and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.